John's gospel is so rich. There's so many sermons that you could preach out of a text like this. But I'm going to focus just on one small phrase. In my name. As Jesus prepares his disciples for his departure, he assures them that although he is leaving them, God isn't. In John 16, 21, he says, I came from the Father and I have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Earlier that same evening, as they were celebrating the Passover and they're in the upper room, he told them that when he went away, he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with them. And that although he was leaving, God wasn't. Jesus also spent time in these chapters 14, 15, and 16, the upper room discourse, to teach on prayer. Effective prayer. His disciples can call upon God in Jesus' name after he leaves and ask God for anything. Up to this point, the disciples had not asked anything of God the Father because Jesus was with them and he would ask the Father for them. But now when he goes away, they will still have access to God the Father through him in his name. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. I don't need to comment on that because Jim did such a great job in the children's sermon talking about God's love. Believing in, loving God through faith in Jesus Christ gives a believer unlimited access to God the Father through prayer. That's really important to know. Unlimited access. You can come to God as many times as you want in prayer. You can come to him no matter where you are. He's available. He doesn't have hours that he's available or a certain location that you have to go to. He is available all the time. Praying in the name of Jesus is not some magical incantation that is tacked on to the end of prayers in order to give them added weight to persuade God to give you something that you're asking for. Nor is asking in Jesus' name simply a signal that the prayer is over and we can open our eyes. Today we're going to learn that in Jesus' name is an essential condition for effective prayer. If you want to be effective in prayer, you conclude your prayer with, in Jesus' name. Now, why should we do that? Well, that's what we're going to find out. Christ repeated this phrase 6 times in chapters 14 through 16, in Jesus' name. Back in chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. I mean, think about that. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Whatever. Praying to God through the Son. In faith. As Jesus comes to the end of his teaching here in chapter 16, he uses the phrase, in my name, 3 times. Verse 23, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Verses 16 to 27, in that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Now, the main point, the main idea that Jesus is bringing across here is to have an effective prayer life. Christians are to pray to God, the Father, in Jesus' name. Simple. Simple. 2 points. To pray in Jesus' name is to come to God as one who is identified with Jesus Christ by faith. And secondly, asking in Jesus' name means praying to God on the basis of Christ's merit, not ours. Let's look at that first point. To pray in Jesus' name is to come to God as one who is identified with Jesus Christ by faith. To pray in Jesus' name means to approach God as a believer in Christ. Jesus Christ is not a mere human name. Not Tom, Dick, or Harry. Jesus is not the big man upstairs or the heavenly dude. The Lord Jesus Christ is the incarnate Son of God. He is Lord. His name has power. The name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name meaning Jehovah is salvation. When the angel Gabriel spoke to Joseph and Mary bearing his son in Matthew 1:21, the angel said, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the last part of Jesus Christ, that's a title meaning anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus was anointed by God the Father to perform the works of redemption. Jesus is fully divine. His name and title reveal that he is the unique Son of God, the anointed one who has done all the work to reconcile sinners to God through his death and resurrection. When you pray in Jesus' name, you are acknowledging that you believe Jesus to be the Son of God and that he is the only way to a right relationship with God the Father. And that he has secured for you access to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That has to do with eternal life. It has to do with forgiveness of sins. It has to do with being reconciled to God. It has to be. It has also to mean you're justified, declared righteous. He's the only way. And the point here now is, he is the only way to pray to God the Father so that God will hear your prayers. Very important. People pray with a lot of names. Praying to the saints. Praying to false gods. Sometimes just implicitly stating that they're praying to God in their name. Now, what we're learning here is that the only way you can approach God the Father is through his Son. There just is no other way to be saved from God's wrath, and there's no other way to pray. Notice who Jesus is talking to in the upper room. It's his disciples, his followers. Effective prayer is for Christians only. Only those who identify as believers in Christ. You see, prayer is a privilege for those who believe in Christ to be able to come to God as Father. There's a relationship there. And the children of God can come to him at any time. And as a loving father, He receives us. As a loving Father, He hears our prayers. As a loving Father, He answers our prayers. God does not promise to hear the prayer of anyone who comes to Him in any other way but through faith in the person and work of His unique and beloved Son. You remember earlier in Jesus' ministry, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. When He instructed them in prayer, what was the first words? What were the first words? The Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Now, who can claim that God is their Father? Everybody? No. Only those whose broken relationship with God has been changed by faith in Jesus Christ, who reconciled the sinner to God. So we call Him Abba Father. We approach God as our Father. If you're not a believer, God is not your Father. The prayers that God hears and answers are the prayers of Christians who have access to God through His Son, Jesus. Keith Matheson, in this month's Table Talk, has an article entitled, Does God Hear the Non-Christians, Hear Non-Christians When They Pray? God is sovereign and can answer any prayer He wants. But He has revealed in Scripture that He does not hear the prayers of the unbeliever. Jeremiah 14, 11 and 12. The Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. Though they fast, I will not hear their cry. And though they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by famine and by pestilence. Psalm 34, 15 to 18. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Isaiah 1:15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Jeremiah 11:11. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am bringing disaster upon them that they cannot escape. Though they cry to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry to the gods to whom they make offerings, but they cannot save them in the time of their trouble. For your gods have become as many as your cities, O Judah, and as many as the streets of Jerusalem are the altars you have set up to shame, altars to make offerings to Baal. Therefore, do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer on their behalf, for I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their trouble. What right has my beloved in my house when she has done many vile deeds? It's hard to hear, isn't it? Just assume that if you pray, God's going to hear everybody's prayer. Doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter where you're a Christian or a Buddhist or somebody from another religion or philosophy. We all send our prayers to the Lord. And He hears them all, does He? I remember one time there was a person that called the church and asked, could you pray for so-and-so? Sure. I have called this church, that synagogue, that temple. I'm doing a cover-all prayer. I'm covering all bases. And if we get more and more people to pray, God has to answer that prayer. Who are you praying to? Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. In all these verses from the prophets, who are they directing their words to? Pagans in the world or to Israel? To Israel, to the religious people. Effective prayer comes to God the Father through the Son, but the attitude of our prayers has to be matched by the way we're living. That's what he says here. So the object, the one you're praying to, is very, very important. And how you come to him with the attitude and the lifestyle is also important to him. Now, there is one prayer that the unbeliever can pray that will be heard by God. And it is the prayer of repentance. Consider the prayer of the Ninevites in the book of Jonah. After Jonah preached and called people to repentance, they repented, and were they saved? Yes. The only prayer of an unbeliever that God will listen to is a prayer of genuine repentance, a cry for mercy and acceptance. In the New Testament, we read in Luke 18, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Another example of God hearing the prayer of an unbeliever. Remember the thief on the cross? His last dying breaths, he cries out, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what was Jesus' response? Truly, truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. In the weeks to come, when we study John 17, marvelous passage of Scripture, the high priestly prayer, we will see that Jesus does not pray for every person. He prays only for those whom God has given him, for those whom he died to save from God's wrath. Listen to what he prays in John 17, 6 through 10. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Do you see the relationship between a person and God and how that affects their prayer life? To have an effective prayer life, Christians are to pray to God the Father in Jesus' name. Christians are to identify with Christ and come to the Father through Christ. Now, the second point about praying in Jesus' name means praying to God the Father on the basis of Christ's merit, not our own. Praying in Jesus' name means that we are coming to God on the merits of Christ and not on the basis of any merit of our own. This is the basis for our justification. We're not saved by works, are we? We are saved by believing in the work of Jesus Christ. And Jim highlighted this with the young ones today. What is the work of Jesus Christ? The work of Jesus Christ, there's many works, but the primary one is that he died on the cross to pay the debt of our sins, to reconcile us to God the Father. And God accepted his sacrifice. The Father accepted his sacrifice, his sacrificial death, by raising him from the dead 3 days later. That's the merit of Christ that enables us to have access to God the Father. His work, not our work. We are saved only when we relinquish all hope of works on our part to gain God's approval and instead come to God on the basis of the perfect work of Christ. When we trust in Christ, God forgives our sin and in its place imputes the perfect righteousness of Christ to our account. To pray in the name of Jesus means to come to God believing that we are saved not by anything we have done, but solely on the work, the merit of Christ Jesus. Now, suppose I go to a bank to draw money from my account. I have a check, cash, and I sign my name to the back. And I present it to the teller. She or he takes a look at my check, looks at my account number, and comes back and says, "You have insufficient funds in your account. I can't give you money. I can't give you the cash that you want. You have insufficient funds." If, on the other hand, I go to a bank with a friend who has an account with great resources on deposit, and he gives me a check for a large amount of money, and he signs it on the back, give it to the bank teller, he or she checks the account and sees that this friend has sufficient funds, she'll cash the check. I will receive the money. Not because of my account, because my account is worthless. It has nothing in it. But because my friend's account has more than adequate funds. So it doesn't matter if I have an account or not. What matters is that Jesus has an account that has adequate resources, and that it is in His name, not my name, that I receive the blessing. We look in the Scriptures and we see the marvelous grace of God towards those children of His. In Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? God wants us to pray to Him. Ask anything in Christ's name, and He will grant it. I got to be careful here. We don't want to border on prosperity gospel where name it and claim it. But I want us to understand God's grace. When we come to God the Father through His Son, we can ask for healing. We can ask for peace. We can ask for material wealth. Yes, we can. And it's not a sin. We're praying for God to give us $3 million for a school. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's an act of faith. God, You have this in Your account. And we're asking You in the name of Jesus to take care of this debt. Well, we don't have a debt yet, but to take care of this need. Believing that He will. Why? Because He said He would. He promised, if you ask anything in My name. And so often it's like, well, I don't know if I should ask that. And you know, maybe God's sick and tired of hearing us pray all the time. And, maybe it's not His will. Maybe this, maybe that. Pray in Christ's name. He has made us His Father's children, His brother, and He wants to bless. John 8:22. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? There's a memory verse, isn't it? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. That's love. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? And He gives us those things based on the merit of Jesus Christ and not on our own. God, He's a good person. He's a faithful servant. He's a hard worker. He's a good husband. He takes care of His family. And He really is in need. So because He's done all of this stuff for You, God, He's entitled to You to bless Him. That's not right. It's not what we do. It's what Christ has done. And that's what the communion table is all about, because this is a reminder of the merit of Christ. This is a reminder that the only way we can come to the Father for salvation or in prayer is through His work. There's no other way. So to have an effective prayer life, we have to identify with Christ. But we also have to approach Him, not putting in His name as a tagline, But to think about it as we're praying, as we're asking to God, God, I'm coming to you who has all the resources. And I'm not just coming in my own stead, pleading my cause. Lord, you got to help me. I'm coming to you, Lord, in the position of being one of your children. I'm coming to you through Jesus Christ, who has opened up access to you. Lord, help me in Jesus' name. You see how important it is? That little phrase, as we pray, we think about who it is that we're praying to and what right do we have to come to Him and ask for that? What right do we have to ask God to give us $3 million for a building? Who do we think we are? We're coming to God the Father, our Father, who has all the resources and who has a relationship with us as a result of the work of His Son. And He's saying, ask and you'll receive. Knock and the door will be answered. And the door will be opened. Pray in Jesus' name. And God will answer your prayer. So as we go to Him, the communion table, we want to come to God in the name of Jesus and acknowledge what Jesus has done that is symbolized by this table. The merit of Christ who makes sinners righteous. The work of Jesus, a work of love, a work of grace.